This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good afternoon and welcome to the Daily Digest on The Bigger Picture. I'm Sharmila Ganesan and together with me are Lim Soo Ann and Dashran Johan. So as always, we have two stories for you today. With the current global COVID-19 pandemic, many of us are feeling negative emotions like anxiety, sadness, helplessness. But could what we are feeling actually be grief? So we discuss this and some ways to cope.
Mm-hmm. And last week, the Ministry of Women and Family Development released a series of posters which were immediately met with a wave of backlash, criticizing them for being sexist. And some of these backlash came from people in the arts industry who used their creativity to make a stand against patriarchy. So we discussed some of these artworks.
And as always, we have a Twitter poll going, and today it's in relation to our first story. So we're asking you, how would you describe your feelings during the COVID-19 pandemic and during the MCO as well? So your options are generally positive or generally negative. And you know, if you want to share how you're feeling with us, you can tweet us at BFM Radio or you can WhatsApp us at 018-789-8899.
So speaking of feelings, right, with the current COVID-19 pandemic, many of us are going through, I would say, a lot of negative emotions, right? You know, loneliness, anxiety, fear, helplessness. But a recent article in the Harvard Business Review, it caught my eye because it actually suggests a different way to interpret what many of us might be going through and what many of us are feeling, and that is grief. You know, other publications and articles have suggested this as well. You know, there are articles in Washington Post and NPR, and they all talk about how what we are feeling is a sort of grieving process as we see the world that we once knew change so drastically and, you know, perhaps irreversibly as well. You know, for me personally, it did, when I first came across the article, the first one I read was the Harvard Business Review one. It did sound familiar because it's this idea of, because when you think about grief, it's the permanence or a sort of drastic change of losing something. And I felt like that sensation felt familiar to me, you know, what I've been feeling over the last few, I guess, now, gosh, it's coming up to a month already, isn't it?
Go ahead.
Sorry. No, I think it's just a really interesting way to frame things because you don't think about it. You tend to think of grief when you're talking about someone else or a beloved pet, for example.
Losing a person or a pet, something along those lines.
Yes, but you don't think of it as losing a particular aspect of your life. So it's an interesting way to sort of change how we're actually viewing what we're going through now.
Yeah, and interestingly, I only started really feeling this grief maybe over the past week or so, because when it first started, you know, when we first started hearing about COVID-19 and when like all the MCOs like started to happen and all that, like I didn't know how to process it. So I wasn't sad. Like I knew things were like, you know, bad things were happening, like people were dying and all. But it affected more of like the logical side of me more than the emotional side, because it was just too huge of an issue that like something I never experienced before. It was difficult to comprehend. But now when we are really in the thick of things, you know, when even in Malaysia, you see the numbers like increasing and like you keep wondering when is the MCO going to end and all. Now I'm starting to feel a bit of that grief and a bit of sadness. And
So the Harvard Business Review article actually spoke to David Kessler, who is one of the world's leading experts on the subject of grief. And Kessler describes what we're going through as sort of a collective grief. So he's saying that the loss of normalcy, the fear of the economic toll, the loss of our connections with other people, and the understanding that, well, life after this will forever be changed. You know, I think now people are realizing that things aren't necessarily going to go back to normal or the way it was before. And these are all hitting us rather hard. And we're not used to this sort of collective grief being everywhere on a global scale, because I think it's hard to find a country that's not being affected by this.
In that article, he referred to the feeling that a lot of people in the US had after 9/11. But even then, it wasn't such a global event. It was, I mean, yes, the rest of us sort of felt the impact, but that collective grief, this actually extends far beyond even something like that.
And on top of that, Kessler also says that what we are feeling right now is what he calls anticipatory grief, right? So this is the feeling we get about what the future holds when we are uncertain. Mm-hmm. He also says that this is a grief that has to do with negative future that we might imagine. For example, that feeling we get when we receive bad news about our health, or the feeling when we think about losing a parent sometime down the road. Mm. So basically, our primitive mind senses that something bad might happen, but we can't actually see it. And this creates a break in our sense of safety. And again, we are feeling this both on an individual and on a very large collective level.
Mm. So to understand this idea of us going through grief better, we do have on the line Associate Professor Dr. Anasuya Jagadevi Jagadesan, who's a lecturer in psychology. So Dr. Anasuya, is it accurate to describe what many of us are feeling right now as we deal with the COVID-19 pandemic as grief?
It depends on how you view grief. Grief means we are at a stage of loss. That means we've lost something and we are in a area of mourning, and there's a feeling of we can't get it back. So if some people have gone into anxiety so much that they feel that they have lost their freedom and they're never getting it back, then they can be going into areas of grief. Now, grief can be temporary. So yeah, maybe if some people feel it acutely right now, and you know, they miss their friends, they miss their interaction. And so there's a loss of friends and interaction, which one day doesn't seem okay. But I mean, honestly, 3 weeks is starting to feel like forever. So yeah, that would be grief. We are mourning the sense of freedom that we had. We are mourning the sense of I can meet up with my friends anytime I want. I'm mourning to a certain extent, I'm mourning faith in humanity, because we all recognize that this outbreak is because of human callousness. Whether it's full-fledged grief, I wouldn't compare it to grief with a bereavement of death of individuals. And I did recognize in the article it almost did that. Mm. I think that may be undermining the grief of a loss of someone that you love a lot more than what is going on right now. So, but there's elements of grief, yes, definitely, but not to the level of I lost somebody in my life. Maybe the level of I had a breakup with somebody I thought I was in love with. That level of grief, yeah.
So one of the things that the Harvard Business Review article talks about is how the uncertainty and the open-endedness of the situation could be adding to the negativity that we are feeling. Could you explain how?
Yeah, the sense of anxiety is coming from nobody really knows when it's going to end. And the fact that the people in China who seem to suddenly be positive again, that creates a different level of anxiety. Is it really over? Is it ever going to be over? You know, do we really need another new vaccine that, you know, is going to cost people so much of money? And the fear is there. Human beings like predictability. We like to be able to know, we like to know what's going to happen, because predictability gives us a sense of control and comfort. So right now we are in a state where we've lost that. We've lost the sense of comfort and control, because people are telling you to stay in the house. If we are staying in the house by our own accord, we're happy. But now when people are telling you have to stay, it creates anxiety. Or now you're getting the opposite way, and the people are so comfortable staying at home. When they go out, they're anxious, unnecessarily. You know, it's like when they go out, they know they're taking the precautions, but they're still anxious, oh, I'm going to get COVID. If you social distance when you're going out, and, you know, everybody is, you know, doing those social distancing, you need to go and buy your groceries, the chances of you getting COVID, it's not really that high, but anxiety is there. So we don't know what's going to happen. And unfortunately, you know, isolation feeds anxiety. It feeds social anxiety.
Mm.
And that has increased. And it's increased in so many different levels. And we're talking about coming out of this. We also have the idea of not just physical health, but, you know, economic health. Are we going to go through another Great Depression? Because now, you know, that may be a reality, because how many people have lost their jobs? How many people have lost income? How many businesses may have had to be shut down? And this is on a global level. What about global travel? If your industry involves travel, how much travel is going to be reduced in the next, you know, year or so because of this? And will there be another pandemic? You know, so all these questions create more and more anxiety in people. For those of us who are not techno-savvy, we don't even understand how the internet works. And suddenly you're so reliant on it. and this reliance on something that is totally outside your ability to manage or control is stress-inducing in the maximum, because I need to be at this big meeting and my internet is down. What am I supposed to do? You know, so these are questions which we never really talked about, because last time we were physically there. Now we're not. You know, so we have got a high level of anxiety. It's going to come. I don't think the anxiety is going to go away in the next year. I think, in fact, that even when the MRO is reduced and we have got more ability to move around, I see the anxiety as actually potentially. I'm not going to make a prediction, but potentially, I think it's going to increase, especially with economy and health together. Because right now, most of us are not worried about the economy.
So then, why is it important that we identify what we might be feeling as grief?
Okay, sometimes we mix up anxiety and grief. Sometimes we mix up anger and anxiety. And those kinds of things do cause tension in families. If you are by yourself and you're staying in your house by yourself, all alone, and you're dealing with the emotions just on your own, it's not that significant. As long as you find a place of peace within yourself, then how it expresses itself is not so important. The importance of this comes when you're dealing with family members and other people in your vicinity. So if you're actually in grief and you're feeling anxious, and you think it's anxiety or you think that it's depression, then how you would manage it with your family or with how you'd express it with people around you would be different, and you're going to get different results. So if and a lot of times anger or, you know, frustration covers grief, covers loss, covers the sense of vulnerability that we have. And when we express anger to other people, you're going to get, you know, a different reaction to expressing grief. People don't understand why you are so anxious. You're like, you know, they're trying to tell you, look, everything is going to be okay. It's just, you know, we just have to be careful. Nobody in our family is sick, you know, but the person seems to be so anxious. And you're like, why are they anxious? I don't get it. Because they're not anxious. They're not anxious about the COVID situation. They are actually in grief over their personal loss of freedom. So how I would interact with you if I understand it's about grief, and how you would interact with me would be different and would be healthier in terms of interaction. Now, if you're sitting by yourself and you're the kind of person that says, no, I manage my own emotions, I meditate, I listen to music, and you're not sure what your emotion is, then it's not that critical at this point in time. It's more critical for you to find that peace. So, you know, whatever the surface emotion is, it doesn't matter so much. But in interactions with people, it does, because someone's reaction to you is based on your action. So if your action of anger or frustration is covering grief, is covering fear, then the people don't know that. People can't read your mind. They need to be able to see it. They need to be able to experience it. You know, they need to be able to understand what's going on with you, so they temper their response. I mean, if somebody came at me angry and I thought, oh my God, this person is just being angry, how I would respond is with defense. But if somebody came at me angry and I actually saw, you know, God, this person is grieving. This person is angry not at me. They're angry at, you know, life in general at the moment, or they're angry or they're actually afraid. Then I would probably respond with a lot more empathy and a lot more understanding. So this is where that understanding, that empathy, the emotional intelligence comes in.
That was Associate Professor Dr. Anasuya Jagadevi Jagadeesan, lecturer in psychology. And, you know, connecting that back to that article in the Harvard Business Review, grief expert David Kessler, who was quoted in that article, suggests several ways in which we can cope with this, what he calls collective grief, right? Acceptance, basically, he says, is one very, very important approach. Basically, accepting the things that you can do can help you find a sense of control, even if it's just simple things like, I can wash my hands, you know, I can keep a safe distance from people, I can learn how to work virtually. So accepting that there are some things that you can control and that you can do can go a long way in helping you deal with that grief.
Yeah, and I think, you know, not worrying too much about things you can't control, right? Because conversely, you know, like Kessler suggests that we should try to stop worrying about what everyone else might be doing or about vague things in the future that we can't yet act on. Mm. The key, he says, is to find balance in what we are thinking. If the worst case scenario starts appearing in your thoughts, make yourself think of the best case as well. Of course, we shouldn't ignore possible negative implications, but they shouldn't dominate our thoughts either.
Mm. And Kessler also emphasizes that it helps to acknowledge and say that what we're going through is temporary. I think because right now a lot of us, it does feel like it is almost permanent, right? Because we don't know what's happening next. So we don't know, just getting the idea in your head that it is temporary, that we will make it through. And to quote him, he says that this is a time to overprotect but not overreact.
Mm. And finally, as Dr. Anasuya also said, Kessler points out that it is important to acknowledge that these feelings that we're having at this time, both for ourselves, but also that other people may be feeling them too, you know, and for ourselves, acknowledging these feelings and giving ourselves time to actually feel them. You know, if you're sad or if you're upset, if you're worried, to sit down and understand that you're feeling them instead of fighting them or putting them away can actually help us deal with them as well. And in the case of others, it helps us deal with them with compassion by realizing that everyone is dealing with their own sort of fear or grief or loneliness, and they may do this in different ways.
Mm.
So if someone acts in a way that's not like themselves, or if they may get upset or angry about something which is not within their character to do so, to maybe take a moment and realize that perhaps there's something else going on and it's not that particular scenario. And, you know, based on this idea of what all of us are kind of feeling through this time, we have been asking you that on Twitter.
Yes. So how would you describe your feelings during the COVID-19 pandemic and the MCO? So far, 68% of you say you've been feeling generally positive.
That's great, right?
Yeah. 32% of you say it's generally negative. We've received a couple of responses as well. Lian Jim says that I'm living in a terrace house alone with a small garden, but I'm still feeling depressed by government news. I can't imagine how life is for those city dwellers who live in small apartments. I'm jealous of other countries who have restricted movement but still allow their citizens to go outside for a jog. Another comment from Charlie Koo says that we are going nuts, but we know we need to be home.
Yeah.
And I think generally I am seeing that sort of trend among my circle of friends. Like, people are sort of going crazy a bit, being cooped up, I think. But people are coping with it. And I've seen so much more compassion among people because people are constantly checking in with each other. I find myself talking to old friends that I haven't spoken to in years just because it feels like right now we all need that someone to just come and check in and say, how are you doing?
Yeah. And this is all the time we have for today's show. But if you'd like to continue keeping in touch with us, you know, tell us how you're feeling. You can tweet us at BFM Radio. You can WhatsApp us at 018-789-8899. We will be back after a quick break. But first, here's Something's Got a Hold on Me by Etta James on BFM.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.